All right. Welcome, everyone, to the May 27th, 2021 VC HTTP API call. As many of you know, this call is an IPR protected call. So that means that you need to be a member of the credentials community group. It's free to join, free to be a member, to make the IP commitment there. If you have not made the IP commitment, please refrain from contributing any technical content, to the call. Again, it's easy to join. Just go to the CCG, web page, and join up. Today on the agenda, we've got, just two items, actually, sorry, three items. The first one is a shift to the new call time. We've gotten enough people, providing input where we can, lock in a call time. So we'll talk about that briefly. Next item after that is reviewing our architecture diagram. So we got a good discussion in last week. This week we're going to try to sign off on those architecture diagrams, move that forward. And then finally, we are going to start the authorization, discussion. We're not making any decisions today on authorization, but the concept here is to get all the ideas on the table so that everyone's got a little bit of time to think about them, talk about the types of proposals that we might put forward. Just get, you know, a poll going, feedback on, you know, how people are thinking about authorization these days. And just start the discussion today. We won't finish it clearly. And then, that should be the call. Are there any other, updates or changes to the agenda that, anyone would like to make? Anything folks want to add? Eric, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so just from myself and Juan doing the use cases, just wanted to remind everyone that our timeline we had set for new use cases, we're 2 out of the 4 weeks into it. So if anyone has use cases they want to get in, please add them to the document in the next couple of weeks so that we can start the paring down process. I think that was it. Unless Juan, I want to queue you up in case you had anything to add.
Go ahead, Juan.
Yeah, I would just say a lot of people have submitted useful starting points that we've tried to iterate a little, but don't feel free to expand on what's already there, what someone else wrote, cut and paste, and make a new version of someone else's if you think you could contribute in that way. You don't have to sort of make a new one ex nihilo. Like, there's a lot of one sentence ones that would make a great expanded use case. If someone wants to try give it a go. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Juan. Any other updates or changes to the agenda or just general announcements if you've got anything new this week? All right. Then with that, let's go ahead and jump into the first topic. Those of you that are potentially new to the call, actually, I feel like we have a number of new people on the call. If you're new to the call, we'd love to hear from you, specifically just like a real quick introduction from you, what brings you to the group, what you're interested in getting out of the group, that sort of thing. So let me pause. Is there anyone that's new to the group that you haven't introduced yourself to the group yet?
Sure, this is Damon Tindall. I'm with Randa Solutions in Franklin, Tennessee. I'm here at the behest of my CEO, Marty Reed, who typically joins, but I'm interested in seeing what you guys are doing. I haven't even read it up. I hope to find out today.
Great. Welcome to the call, Damon.
Thank you.
We're in Virginia, just a tiny bit away from you.
Which part, if I may?
Blacksburg, Virginia, Southwest Virginia.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, in the Blue Ridge.
Good to be here. Nice to meet you, folks.
Great to meet you as well. Mohammed, I think you're next. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm from Europe, Slovenia. I'm from University of Maribor, one of the Slovenian universities. We are dealing with blockchain projects, and I'm just here to see what you guys are doing and if we can collaborate in any way. So that's it.
Great. Welcome to the call, Muhammad. Apologies, ACO Burn, I skipped you. Please go ahead.
No worries. I'm Aaron Coburn. I work for Inrupt, which is a project with Tim Berners-Lee working on the Solid project. We're looking very closely at verifiable credentials and especially the HTTP API, specifically in the context of consent. And it's something we're implementing and working on right now. So this is obviously very interesting.
Wonderful. Welcome to the call, Aaron. Butch, you're up next.
Hi, this is Butch Clark. I'm with Dish Network. And we are, I'm working on an initiative to investigate SSI and verifiable credentials. And I'm drinking from the fire hose right now. That's very interesting.
Wonderful. Welcome, Butch. Yes, it is a very fast fire hose. David Ward, you're up next.
I'm David Ward. I'm from Public Consulting Group. I'm actually located a little over Vancouver in BC. We've been working with Randa Solutions actually with in North Dakota for the digital transcript project. And we're trying to make sure that it works well with all the verifiable credential stuff. And so here to learn more.
Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome, David. Henry, you're up next.
Hi, I'm Henry Story, Babelfish. I'm working on also on Solid, and I'm building out a Solid web server now. So I want to understand how the I'm not yet in the position where we're using verifiable credentials, but it's I want to be able to use it. So that's why I'm trying to work out what's happening. Hopefully, I can contribute more time soon.
Great. Welcome. Welcome to the call, Henry. Charles, you're up next. You might be muted, Charles.
There we go. Sorry about that.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's Charles Edebury, and I'm with the Government of Ontario. I'm the lead architect for our digital identity program. Currently, we are actually working on it. Identity trust structure for verifiable credentials. So just here to learn and understand. Yeah.
Wonderful. Welcome to the call, Charles. Okay. Did we get everyone? Is there anyone else that hasn't had a chance to introduce themselves to the group? Go ahead, Charles.
Oh, but yeah. So, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, so if some of you noticed, there's a queue here that we use to queue speakers. You can either raise your hand and lower it to put yourself on the queue, or you can type Q plus into the chat. And if you want to remember what you're going to say, you do Q plus and then to introduce myself or, you know, some message to yourself so that when we take you off the queue, you remember what you were going to say. As funny as that sounds, sometimes the queue gets long and sometimes so much time passes that by the time it gets around to you, you forget what you were going to say. Thank you, Juan, went ahead and demonstrated that feature in the chat. Okay. With that, let's go ahead and get into our next topic, which is a change in call meeting time. Juan, go ahead. You're on the queue.
Oops.
We're just demonstrating some more. Change in call meeting time. A request went out to the mailing list on calls, just kind of call time and when people could make it. We have here, let me go ahead and share my screen. Apologies for the ads. You can tell what my kids are searching for. dog shirts, it seems. But in the center is these are the results of the poll, the doodle poll. It looks like the time that works for most people is going to be Tuesdays at 4 p.m. The only big issue here is it looks like Ori is not going to be able to make it then. So we may want to follow up with him and see if that's something that he can move. But it looks like it's a time that just about everybody else can make. Interestingly enough, well, yeah, so that's kind of that. So without without further changes, it's probably going to be Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Does anyone have any does anyone that's going to be contributing on a fairly, you know, heavy basis have any conflicts with that time?
Sorry, these are East Coast, right?
I'm sorry. Yes, these are East Coast time, so 4 p.m. Eastern. Okay. Given that, that is going to be our new call time. We did poll for it, and so it looks like it is going to work for folks. What are we at now? 3. So, yeah. Okay, so that's the new time. Next call will be at that time. Okay. Next up is going to be a review of our architecture diagrams, review of updated architecture diagrams. So let me go ahead and drop a few links into IRC. These are all different diagrams. So this first one is issuer detail diagram, issuer architecture detail diagram. The next one is verifier architect. Let's see, verifier detail architecture diagram. And then the next one is a holder detail, holder architecture detail diagram. Okay, so now that everyone has those links, I'm going to screen share them. All right. So last call, we reviewed these last call, and the group provided feedback. We have now gone back in, updated the diagrams with the feedback. So what we're trying to accomplish today is to go over the changes, see if everyone's happy with them, and if everyone's happy with them, propose to adopt these diagrams as initial diagrams into the specification. Doesn't mean we're done. It just means that, yeah, it looks generally okay. Let's go ahead and take those pictures and start using them and then refining them. So let's go ahead and kind of take a look at the updated diagrams. In general, there were two things that were done. One of them was they were naming things. So these are the issues. This issue here on the right that's highlighted. These are the, the issues that we identified last time. And so we said, you know, hey, this box here, this web service, box now that's been renamed, the naming's bad. We need to call it a gateway or a service or something like that. That's been cleaned up. The other addition to this diagram, are the blue boxes here. So blue boxes basically highlight that this thing, this service is expected to expose some subset of the verifiable credential, HTTP API. Let me pause there. Adrian, you're on the queue.
Yes. Where it says receive credentials between the web service and the holder, are we going to accommodate receive capability instead of or along with or as an alternative to receive credentials?
That is an excellent question. let's see, the group definitely hasn't said anything about that yet. There is a subset of us that feel like that's within scope, maybe, because you can do the same thing with Chappie. So Chappie can move across VCs and it can move across, Zcaps. And it doesn't really care about the payloads going back and forth. But I think the group still has not had that discussion on whether or not, that's going to be in scope. Part of that discussion, Adrian, I would expect has to do with the authorization discussion that we would have, that we're going to start today. So I think some of us think yes and others probably think no. And I think, well, anyway, I don't know. I don't think we can add anything yet to the diagram because we don't have consensus on any of that. Did that make sense, Adrian?
Yes, except that if we don't have consensus, we should mention both possibilities. But it's a minor point. It's in the minutes. We can come back.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we could go either. I agree. We could go either way. Let's see where the discussion goes today. And again, these diagrams are a starting point. They're not the end. This isn't, you know, these are not set in stone by any stretch of the imagination. As I mentioned, you know, these blue boxes, it's the best, you know, we wanted to highlight where the VCHTTP API comes into play, and blue means VCHTTP API comes into play. And if it doesn't, you know, have that, it has nothing to do with the VCHTTP API, right? So hopefully it's clear that, you know, we're talking about kind of these three components that might go into the issuer. So the thing that changed here is we renamed this. It now says web service. It says that it's an external set of HTTP APIs that might also include the VCHTTP API, the external VCHTTP APIs. And we tried to clarify that this is specifically not HTML and JavaScript web pages. This is, you know, machine to machine type, machine to machine style interfaces. Okay, so any questions on this, or really, would anyone object to a proposal where we say we want to start with this image, with this diagram, and put it into the specification as a possible architecture? All right, not seeing any objections, so that's good. We'll run a proposal at the very end here. The next item up is the verifier part of the general architecture. So once again, we had said that this box on the at the edge had a bad name. We need to rename it. We also said the previous image did not have a database of any kind that it checked, but people were like, well, what about, you know, data that you know about the subjects that interact with your service? What about, cryptographic challenges that you might put out there? And you want people to come back with those, you know, challenges signed. What about audit logs and audit records for, legal applications and retention? So we added the verifier database here as part of the diagram. And we just said you know, the application service might get and set app data from the verifier database. We had the verifier service, here, so that didn't change. And the other, you know, update that we made here, this said send and receive credentials, and we changed this to request presentations and receive presentations. Presentations, of course, contain verifiable credentials in them. And so that's kind of, you know, the language that we changed here. And then, of course, we made the same exact change that we made to the issuer diagram. So we said, you know, the verifier has some kind of external web service where it exposes some external APIs, HTTP APIs, and some subset of those are going to be external VCHTTP API. And again, specifically, this is not HTML and it's not JavaScript web pages. It's machine-to-machine stuff. Adrian, did I forget to ask you, or are you on the queue again?
You forgot that.
Okay, thanks. All right, go ahead, Aaron.
I'm just wondering, in the arrows for request presentation and receive presentation, shouldn't those be going in the opposite directions? I might be misunderstanding.
Let's see. So the web service, yeah, it could go either way. I think that's a really good, observation. It could go either way. So there's a part of the discussion that we need to have as a group, on who kicks off the process, right? So with, with Chappie and web browser based interactions, you go to the website and you click a button, and that website will then request a presentation from you, the holder. So if we were talking about Chappie, this would be the right arrow direction. But there's a step here that's missing for the VC-HTTP API that we're probably going to get into when we talk about presentations and workflows, where the holder will want to kick off a workflow and then the web service might then request a presentation back. So for the time being, I'm going to assert that the arrows are pointing in the right direction, but it is in whether or not we change the direction or add other things in here, like start workflow, where the arrow is pointing in the other direction, that's a future conversation I think we're going to get to when we start talking about presentations, requests, and responses. Did that make sense, Aaron, or does that feel
absolutely? Right? Thank you.
Okay, Mohammed, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add that we have implemented an authority agent at our ministry. And it's also, let's say, browser-based. And we have also the same principle where the student, in our case, it's the student says, send me a VP request on the browser. So it's send me VP request, and then the authority agent sends the VP request. So I guess the arrows are the correct.
Great. Awesome. Yep. And that absolutely, that follows, what the Chappie protocol does as well. Adrian, you're up.
So, parallel to my first comment, previous comment, receive presentation could also be receive capability.
Yes.
And, for exactly the same reason.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, there's a larger, discussion. Actually, let me put myself on the queue. Go ahead, Henry.
So in Solid, one of the ways we're looking at it is that you have a description when you reach a resource that describes, what, groups of people or attributes one needs. You know, as a kind of owl description, the set of people with these over 16 or something like that. Is that what a request of a presentation is? And then the holder can choose which credentials or attributes would fit to before deciding what presentation to send?
Yes, you got it, Henry. It's basically the you know, speaking from like an RDF sense, the web service says, these are effectively the triples I want to see. You could think of them as kind of a pseudo Sparkle query, that goes across. And then this holder system gets that, and then it determines what verifiable credentials it has, that can fulfill that query. And then it sends those back in the presentation.
All right. Great.
I put myself on the queue to speak to Adrian's question. Adrian, I think the larger discussion that we need to have around the VC-HTTP API is whether or not we want it to act like Chappie or not. So as folks probably know, Chappie can request, presentations, credentials, and it can also request capabilities and transmit capabilities. And as far as Chappie is concerned, it's completely agnostic as to the request format and the response format. Chappie is a dumb pipe. And so there's a question here with the VC-HTTP API on whether or not we want the VC, certain parts of the VC-HTTP API to also be a dumb pipe, where the VC-HTTP API does not care about the request and response format. It's agnostic to it. it just moves things through the pipe. And then it's up to, you know, the holder software and the verifier software to do something with the payload or, you know, return a 400, you know, error, or something of that nature. So yes, Adrian, I think that's again, the same conversation we need to have about this connection, here. Okay. So we renamed this. We highlighted in blue where the HTTP API, the VCHTTP API comes in. We added a verifier database to cover the legal obligations, question, and we changed this from credentials to presentations. Does this diagram look okay to folks as a starting point, to put in the specification? Specifically, would anyone object to this diagram being placed into the specification? All right. Hearing no objections, I'm going to move to the third and final diagram. This is the one that was the roughest last time. It's the one that we, you know, there was the most amount of feedback on. What were the issues last time? I think Ori mentioned, you know, where's the key management service? Shouldn't we have that in here somewhere? I think, maybe Adrian, you mentioned, you know, the storage service, where is this stuff stored? So there were two boxes added for those, the KMS service for key management, storage service for EDVs, both optional, both, you know, not strictly required. There was a digital wallet service, there was a digital wallet in the middle, and that's been renamed to a wallet service with, quotes around wallet. Because not everyone, you know, thinks in those, you know, terms. That's fine. But the most important thing here is the, you know, the blue box highlighting where the VCHTTP API comes in. The other, thing that was raised was authorization. Where does authorization occur? What are we doing there? And so that is kind of the conversation I think we're going to dovetail into, you know, after we talk about these diagrams. Adrian, you are on the queue.
To ask a question, not insisting at all, do we need this diagram? In other words, it seems like, relative to the VCHTTP API, whatever is showing in this diagram is internal to something that happens to be labeled holder, but I'm not sure that we have clarity either in terms of scope or benefit for naming the holder. And don't make too much of this. I'm just suggesting that it may not necessarily, it might not be necessary to have to define what's going on inside the holder. Right. And actually might complicate matters rather than simplify the spec.
Got it. Thanks, Adrian. Mohammed, you're next.
Sorry if I'm asking questions which were already discussed since I'm the first time today. Why wasn't the KMS service also depicted in the issuer and verifier? Since the KMS service is also part of the issuer's agent and the verifier agent and the wallet service. So I'm confused with now the different aspects of these pictures.
That is an excellent question. Juan, you're up next.
I was just pointing out that, the issue 176, raised by, some people from a contributor to, the spec, shows a custodial holder, you know, multi-party holder. I think the holder, assuming the architecture for holders is very, very simple and direct, you know, is not necessarily something we should do. I think there's a lot of complexity around guardianship, enterprise custodial, all that stuff, is why part of the difficulty of mapping this API to that kind of architecture is what we're, why this, the process is getting so complicated. And I think it's good to be as, segmented in the holder as the issuer and verifier are personally. But yeah, that's just to say that part of the complexity here comes from use cases like that. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Juan. I put myself on the queue to address two things. The first was Adrian's question, do we need this diagram? I think the short answer, Adrian, is yes. This is one of the parts of the system that Ori feels is missing. So the supply chain traceability folks, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, supply chain traceability folks, but one of the things that we don't have is an API to do things like create presentations and derive proofs for the holder. And there, you know, there's an assertion that this goes on the quote unquote wallet service. And so that's why, you know, we have this diagram, also for the reasons that, that Juan mentioned. It would simplify things to remove this, from, you know, the diagram that we talk about, but at the same time, that's challenging to do because there, you know, a number of use cases that, that seem to point to us needing to go into this kind of detail, for the holder. Okay. And I'm seeing plus ones from, Mahmoud and, Mike, in the chat. Okay. So I don't, yeah, I think Adrian, if we tried to remove this detail, then there could be objections. Because we are now missing a critical part of the ecosystem that allows us to move these credentials back and forth. So that's why it exists. I also put myself on the queue to address, let's see, Mahmoud's very, very good question of like, why don't we have a KMS in the issuer and the verifier? It's an excellent question because most issuers and verifiers are probably going to have KMS systems. We could add it to the diagram. I don't know if folks feel very strongly about that. And I'm wondering, well, yeah, so I was going to say, like, what about the storage service as well? We could add it. So there's an argument of like, let's add it to be complete. And the counter argument being, let's not add it because it doesn't really add to, it doesn't add much to the diagram. So looking for feedback on that. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think at a minimum, when we think about someone coming into this fresh, right, and how to implement from a best practices standpoint, if this is our starting place diagram, and ultimately, obviously, it's going to evolve over time, I think we should recognize certain key best practices like using key management, right? Wherever keys are involved. And so I think it's beneficial to likely add it to each diagram. I think it's a critical, obviously, on the holder diagram, which is why it was not, you know, on the other ones. But I think, adding it in could be, if nothing else, kind of getting a step ahead in terms of thinking through how do we recommend best practices for actual implementation.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Thank you, Mike. Mohammed, you're up.
I just wanted to add from experience, because as I said, while developing the authority agent, we had a quite a complex situation with our issuer, which is a ministry, and we had to implement this key management services because we had to use various keys which were involved for signing, did exchange, etc. So I think it's really crucial for the issuer and verifier part also, at least the KMS. Yeah.
Got it. I have a question. If we're going to have a KMS service, so the first question is it only attached to the issuer? So Let's see. So is that the diagram? And the verifier as well. So why does the verifier have keys? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in our case, we store any key material, including public keys and items like that, in key management service for retrieval, even though it may technically be fine to be wide out in the open. It just encourages good best practice across the development side. So even in cases where we're not necessarily referencing private key material, we tend to try to standardize that from an approach standpoint.
Okay. That's valid. Is this the diagram that both of you feel is accurate, Muhammad, Mike?
This is good by me.
Okay. I think there could be arguments that the application service might also, but yeah, you know, then we could draw a line.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the tricky parts, right? Is like, you know, ultimately any server is going to be touching, you know, a KMS at some point, right? If nothing else, for like, how do you spin up TLS, right? Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay. But people would be fine with us just starting with this kind of thing. Okay. And then for the verifier service, don't read anything in, clearly don't read anything into that, the fact that they're outside the boxes just now. I'll have to just mess with the diagram to make everything fit. But we've got a KMS hooked off to the verifier service here. Okay. Mohammed, does that work for you if we make those adjustments?
Yeah, looks great, yeah.
Okay, and does anybody else, you know, if we use this for the holder diagram, would there be any objections? Are folks fine with this as a starting location for the diagrams? Mike, I don't know if that's an old cue or not.
Old cue for me.
Thanks. Juan, you're up.
My only question, I could be confused here, but there was a lot of talk for a while about multiple holders. Would it be utter nonsense and insanity to include some sort of visual reference to that concept if that is included in scope, or is that already out of scope, or how does it work if or is another holder just a verifier for the purposes of the interaction?
Excellent question. So one of the things that, you know, we thought about with the diagram here is, you could stack every single one of these boxes. There could be multiple issuers, multiple verifiers, multiple holders. I think, Juan, you're specifically talking about like the wallet-to-wallet interaction. And in that case, because these things are roles that entities can play, you can be both a holder and a verifier at the same time, or you can be an issuer and a verifier at the same time. The presumption, Juan, is exactly that. You know, in a wallet-to-wallet scenario, one of the wallets is the, you know, is playing this box and the other wallet is playing, you know, this box. And you could even say that a wallet itself can expose the request credential or presentation, receive credential presentation, you know, endpoints as well. So I'd say let's not add the complexity of more boxes to this and try to keep it simple, until that, you know, breaks down for some reason.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Yeah, and Ted, there's truth to what you're saying. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I think it is actually important to indicate that there could be a holder-to-holder transfer. which is different than a holder to verifier or an issuer to holder.
Yes. So, to do that, Ted, do you think the best approach, I'm suggesting maybe the best approach for that would be to create another diagram showing a holder to holder interaction?
Probably. Given the level of detail on all of these, that probably makes the most sense.
Okay. All right. So let's put that down as an action item to do, to just make sure that we get that into the spec as well. I'm going to try a proposal, though, now, just to cover the three items that we did. While I type that proposal up, David, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I was just questioning the holder to verifier saying request credentials, whereas the previous diagram, it was changed to presentations.
Yes, so that's an error. Let's go ahead and fix that presentation. Let's fix this right now. Thank you, David. I had meant to address that. Okay, so the proposal would be to adopt the three diagrams for issuer, verifier, and holder as initial diagrams to be placed into the specification and iterated on. Let's see, diagrams are placed in the specification. It is expected that these diagrams will be iterated upon. Okay, so let me go ahead and just put this proposal in there. The proposal is to adopt the three diagrams, issuer, verifier, and holder, as initial diagrams to be placed into the specification. It is expected that these diagrams will be iterated upon. Any changes to that? If not, plus one, minus one, plus zero. And for those that are new to this, plus one means, yes, I'm supportive of the proposal. Minus one means, no, I am not supportive of the proposal. And anything in between, like a zero is like, I'm ambivalent. Plus 0.2 is like, eh, it's okay. I kind of have some positive feelings towards it. Okay. And we're mostly looking for minus ones here, which I'm not seeing any. Okay, going once, going twice. All right, that is resolved then. Thank you, everyone. This is good. Hopefully this allows us to point to pictures and talk about what certain connections should be doing and what certain boxes should be doing. Okay. Now that we have done that, let's kick off the conversation related to authorization. Again, this is just a start where there are no proposals. Authorization. Start authorization discussion. Okay, so everyone's got some feelings about authorization. This is time to get those kind of feelings and thoughts on the table. We have a variety of proposals on what we do with authorization. I don't think at this point anyone is suggesting that authorization is something we shouldn't do. We need to do authorization for a subset of these endpoints at least. The question is really, what type of authorization, questions around extensibility of authorization. So a couple of, proposals that, like Ori put forth last call was, we should be doing OAuth too. And everything else is out of scope. So let's just do that. Adrian, has been, very consistent in, stating like, look, GNAP is looking pretty good. We should really think about that. We should think about capabilities. We should care about, non-OAuth 2 based approaches that, are, better for, SSI, type ecosystems. And then variations in between, which is, start with OAuth 2, but allow extensibility and enable, GNAP and ZCAPs and the other types of authorization mechanisms that the community knows about. So let me stop there. That's what we've heard. Now is the time to kind of hear from individuals in the community and companies that are building this stuff out and what they are planning to do, specifically what they're planning to implement near term, what they would be open to, what they would be completely against. So let's go ahead and start there. Put yourself on the queue if you've got, you know, thoughts, about this. Go ahead, Adrian.
The argument against OAuth 2 is primarily about delegation. If we, just do, OAuth, or anything else that looks quite like it, we are introducing what I describe as a human rights issue, which doesn't necessarily have to be taken up in this work group. I'm trying to take it up more broadly in CCG, actually. But it seems to me like specifying OAuth, if you're correctly paraphrasing Ori's point, it would be a mistake because it would then introduce, we'd have to deal with delegation just like UMA, you know, just like I had to deal with delegation and the UMA folks for a decade, which is kind of why I'm so insistent. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Adrian. Mike, you're up next. Mike Farley.
Thanks. So SecureKey is very interested in what's going on with the GNAP protocol. We're helping to sponsor some of that work. So we see GNAP as a method for setting up and collecting the authorization, you know, from the user. However, I think that this API would play a role nicely if it could define the protocol or the endpoints for verifiable credential or ZCAP specific authorization scenarios and data transfers. GNAP is very general. It'll do everything and everything. You know, it's focused on the authorization with the user. So I think there's a place here to focus a bit on how authorization works with credentials and possibly ZCAPs.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Mike Prorock, you're up next.
Yeah. I mean, clearly OAuth has its flaws, right? The reality is, like, we at least have stuff in production using, you know, these REST APIs, right? And OAuth is pretty normal for REST APIs. So doesn't mean it's perfect. It's just, it's what's in the wild, right? And it's what's prevalent. And so we need to be able to, at minimum, support OAuth. Now, are we open to and interested in better solutions and replacements? Absolutely, right? But we also, you know, have customers to support. So, you know, if I go and take to one of my enterprise customers, GNAP, I'm going to get laughed out of the CIO's office, right? So it's just not, I'm not saying this to not support GNAP, right? I think it will get there, or something similar will get there, right? But we've got to be able to support OAuth at a minimum.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Anyone else want to jump on the queue, have an opinion about this? Okay, Mike's saying GNAP may be too early. Muhammad, go ahead. You're up next.
I just wanted to ask, are we just focusing on the authorization aspect or also on the authentication aspect?
Right now, just on the authorization aspect, because the authentication aspect, unless I'm misunderstanding you, authentication happens through other protocols like DidAuth and things of that nature, and actually is a part of sending and receiving verifiable presentations. So we're specifically talking about authorization to call these endpoints in the first place. Mm-hmm. Did that make sense, Muhammad?
Yes, sorry.
Okay,
yes.
Great. And Henry, I believe you're on the queue. Yep.
Right. I'm also trying to get to understand the language too. On the solid group, I tend to think of authorization as a description of what attributes would be needed to access, and which the client can use to choose the verifiable credentials to send. And of course, then it's the verification that the credential sent or the attribute sent actually fit the description. So in our solid use case, I think it's important to remember that. So I'm just saying this is, of course, this is not so widespread, but it might be a really core use case in the long term for verifiable credentials. And at least I think it sets the scene for a really big picture view, and that is that you're thinking of every application as jumping around just like a browser. So essentially, you're thinking of this in a browser. Every application jumping around from following links, fetching data, following data from there, fetching, and so that. There's a need in this system to be, the credentials, the wallet has no idea where the next website is going to be on which it's going to fetch data, right? And so that means that the OAuth has a bit of a problem on that side. And also that's why I think verifiable credential is so important to Solid. Because by having the credential wallet close to the browser or the app, the app can decide which credentials to send to which website on a request basis. So I don't know if that helps, but it makes the authorization it's very different from what we're used to on authorization currently, where you go to one website, you log in, and then you stay on that website.
Great. Thank you, Henry. Adrian, you're up next.
So I want to try to make sure that we do not frame this as a zero-sum game between GNAP and OAuth, because I don't think it's necessary, and I think that would be extremely unwise. And the reason for that is the human rights argument. If our spec doesn't place GNAP either in front of OAuth or alongside, then the sovereigns, which are the issuers in this case, are not going to adopt self-sovereign identity as an architecture. We would have done all of this work over the last 6 years for nothing. And so I think it's incumbent on us to figure out, whether it's in this group or, as I said, more broadly, how to make sure that we understand and put forward the fact that the holder is the only self-sovereign entity here, and in terms of protocols. And let me stop there. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Adrian. I wanted to put myself on the queue to address something Henry said. So, Henry, I think that we've got a terminology mismatch, right? So what you described was a process, like an authentication process that you go through to get authorized to do something. And what we're talking about here is authorization as a, do you have, are you authorized to call this endpoint? Like, are you authorized to use this resource is the question that we're trying to ask. What you mentioned, Henry, is a part of the process of getting authorized, and then using an authorization to access an endpoint is kind of the tail end of that, or it's a different, you know, thing. Adrian, I think there's still a bit of a miscommunication going on around, you know, what is self-sovereign and, you know, what's not. I think that is going to be resolved in time. The more we talk, I think the clearer it will be, to everyone, you know, what we're talking about here. But do, you know, because of the call today, I think what I'm hearing is, nobody is against OAuth 2. There are concerns around it. Maybe OAuth 2 is the minimum we can do. But we also want to allow the ability to put other authorization mechanisms beside it, like GNAP or ZCAPs or things of that nature. Let me check real quick. I know we're out of time. Actually, you know what? We're out of time. So let's all kind of think about that for a week. When we come back next week, we're going to continue the authorization discussion. I see a path through this, a fairly easy, you know, path through this, but we'll see what happens once we start polling, people, next week. So, if you've got additional thoughts or the things you want to discuss next week, please, bring them up. Remember, next week we are at our new time, Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Thank you everyone, for your time today. Please get your use cases in. As Eric said, we're halfway through that time period, so go to the use cases document, get them in there. And if you have any other topics you want to talk about on the call next week, please let us know. With that, have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks all. Bye.
Bye.
All right.